Okay, are you ready? Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the House of Faith, United Methodist Church of Yucaipa on this October morning. It's lovely outside, although still a little bit warm. I'm ready for it to be cool. I hope this finds everyone well and resting and staying home and staying safe. We have a couple of announcements this morning. The first is that Calvin isn't here to play the piano for us. So Susan nicely came over quickly and is substituting, and we surely appreciate her help this morning. So that's why we're a little disorganized at first. Okay, the first announcement has to do with Bible study. We're having a wonderful Bible study around the Serenity Prayer. But last week we had some technical difficulties. So the Serenity Prayer Bible study is going to be this Tuesday and then next Tuesday. So this Tuesday will be lesson number 3. So everyone's welcome. It's at 2 o'clock Tuesday afternoon on Zoom. Or you can come to the Camilla Room and do it in person. Since it's the beginning of October, we have some birthdays to wish happy birthday to Dorothy Presley, Shannon Hustis, Kathy Anderson, Mike Hinckley, Amy Bosson, Brent Rolfe, Barbara Forte, David Will, Jan Manlow, Nancy Greening, Bruce Crabtree, Brianna Hinckley. Do we sing now?
Sure.
Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear
everyone.
Happy birthday to you. It's okay. All right. So there being no other announcements, we're going to move on to the call to worship. Would everyone please join me in the call to worship? I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from?
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life.
The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Okay, our first hymn is Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us, number 381, verses 1 through 3.
Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus.
This is a time for joys and concerns. If you have a joy or a concern, you can contact the office, and it will be in the prayer chain, and Pastor will be informed. So in this time of COVID, that's how we're doing things. And of course, we all want to wish a prayer for our president and first lady as they deal with COVID virus. So would you join me in the unison prayer? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he should come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us continue to be in the spirit of prayer in silence, remembering each other, even though we may be apart. We are united as one in spirit. Let us remember the firefighters who are still battling. Many first responders, all those who are in the medical profession, especially in the field of research to develop vaccine, and all those loved ones that God has placed in our hearts and in our lives. Lord Jesus Christ, the world in which we live is uncertain. It is filled with so much turmoil, pains, and sufferings. And our hearts are affected by it. And we sometimes do not know where we are in life and where we go from here. And because of all those uncertain things, O Lord, we come to you because you are the anchor of our soul. You are the sure hope and sure foundation. Within you, we are not moved by anything happening in the world today, because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can always come to you and find you there with us. You have power to put everything under your care. And we can trust in that care, O Lord, and find hope by doing that. So, Lord, as we come together in this act of worship and giving you thanksgiving, we ask you to visit us with your Holy Spirit and remind us of your eternal presence in our life, that we may be strengthened through the worship this morning, that we may receive healing that we need in different areas of our life, that we may find hope to continue on. So, Lord, our hearts are open unto you, that you may come in through your Holy Spirit and empower us once more, fill us once more, and heal us once more. We recognize that you are the mighty God, that you will in your kingdom, and everything is accomplished on earth according to your will. So we join our heart and prayer, praying that your kingdom will be accomplished, your will be fulfilled on earth. So we join our heart and prayer, praying at this time together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Okay. Please join us in hymn Amazing Grace, number 378, verses 1 through 3. Okay, the scripture reading this morning is 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3 to 4 and 7 to 12. Samuel subdues the Philistines at Mizpah. Then all the people of Israel turned back to the lone. So Samuel said to the Israelites, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths, and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the Israelites put away their Baals and Ashtoreths and serve the Lord only. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came to attack them. When the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he will rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way. Then along the way to a point before Beth-Cat. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Okay, the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I read through my mark.
Great. Great job, Sue. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is in our hearts, in our lives. Send a warm greeting from this beautiful sanctuary on this beautiful Sunday morning. The cool weather is drawing close to where we live, so we are really happy about that. And we have the worship leaders as usual. We have David, he's a cameraman this morning in the back, David Moore, and Rachel is sitting on the other side. And Dale has come to help us in this technical matters. And we have Ralph and Beth sitting in the pew this morning. Beth and Sue Abel, they have prepared a special music for us this morning. And thankfully, Susan showed up. Thank you. Judy Northrop is off today and made arrangement, but somehow there must be a miscommunication and Calvin is not here, but Susan, in just a minute notice, she has come. And I do not recognize you. We have a visitor this morning, but welcome you. Welcome you to this hour of worship. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will visit each and every one of you and touch your heart. Even though we still do not get to worship in person in this beautiful sanctuary, Spirit, the Holy Spirit is present wherever you are. And Holy Spirit can talk to you, can touch your heart, and give you the strength that you need. So I pray that we will all be recharged and re-energized this morning as we worship the Lord. A father and his young son were out for a ride with a horse and buggy. That is many years ago. It had been a very rainy week, and the roads were extremely muddy. They turned onto a road that had one set of deep ruts in the middle of it, which they began to follow. As they came closer to the middle of the mile stretch of road, they saw another horse and buggy coming toward them, the same set of deep ruts. Both buggies stopped horse to horse. The father quietly told the other man that he would have to back up. The man argued that the father and his son could back up just as easily as he could. They began to argue about it, and finally the father looked the other in the face and said, "If you do not back up, I'm afraid I'm going to do something I'm going to regret." The man looked at the father and began backing his horse and buggy down the road. The father and his son remained still, giving the man the opportunity to get out of their way. the son who had been raised in a Christian tradition that taught that the use of force, violence, and power was not right, was astonished. He turned to his father and asked, "Dad, what were you going to do that you were going to regret?" His father answered, "I was going to back up." We all have regrets in life. We could have good intentions, but mistakes are made because of ignorance. Sometimes we do not think that we are making mistakes. We think it is the right thing to do, and later turned out to be wrong. And the worst case is that we know that what we do is not right, but do it anyhow and end up regretting. Israel had a long tradition and teaching from Moses. The commandment prohibited worshiping idols very clearly. It was wrong, and God did not like Israel to turn away from the Jehovah faith. The people knew it, but they did it anyhow. As always has been the case, Israel's unfaithfulness was a precursor of the nation's deterioration. Israel received constant attacks from Philistines and lived in fear during the time of Eli, a priest before Samuel. In that particular situation, the people of Israel was not the only one to blame, but also the religious leaders. Chapter 2 of Samuel, 1 Samuel, speaks of wickedness of priests, Eli's sons. In those days, priesthood was inherited in the family. God was very displeased with the evil that Eli's sons committed while performing the duty in the temple, in the tabernacle. And Eli is just sitting on his hand, and no correction was made. There was no remedy when leaders and the people were corrupted together. Samuel at this time was still young and was an apprentice of priesthood. When Philistine attacked Israel, they brought the Ark of the Covenant to the battle, hoping that God would protect them because they have the Ark of the Covenant. However, not only were thousands of them killed, but the Ark was captured and was taken away from them. I sidetrack a bit here. This speaks of a theologically profound truth about integrity of faith. Having a right relationship with God does not come from a piece of document. Heart needs to be right. The way of living needs to follow faith. It is like wearing cross does not make anyone a true believer. So the Ark of the Covenant in the battlefield did not make any difference for them. Both of Eli's sons died from the battle against the Philistines. Hearing the news of his son's death, Eli fell and he too died on the same day. And Samuel took over the priesthood. People turned back to God and asked Samuel to intercede for them. God's answer came in thunder. It was so loud that Philistines became panicky and scattered. After the victory, Samuel set up a stone and named it Ebenezer, the stone of help, and said, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." And we like to focus on this word, Ebenezer, for a while. It is a very fascinating word with insightful meanings. It is a combination of two words, aben, that is stone, and ezer, that is help. Stone of help, aben ezer. Now, if you look at aben and then new Hebrew alphabet, aben, the word, start with the first alphabet of Hebrew letter, that is aleph. You know, in Greek and Hebrew and some other languages, there are things called the gematria or isosephy. What it is that each alphabet is given numerical value. So aleph is 1, or alpha in Greek is 1, right? And we are very familiar with this. In Revelation, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You know why? Because the Alpha is the very first letter of the Greek alphabet, and then Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet, the beginning and the end. And then it always comes with a numerical value, right? So Aleph in Hebrew has the numerical value of 1, or oneness. So this means the Aleph represent God. There is one God, or God is the first one in the universe. Aleph also represents the creation of something from nothing. What does that mean? Aleph means the creator. So the first alphabets of Hebrew letter has the very close connection to God. It means God. Now, next part of the word, aben, is bet. You know, you may not know this word, but it's the second alphabet of the Hebrew letter, Aleph, Bet, and Gimel, and it goes on. Bet is the second alphabet. But do you know that Bet is the first alphabet of the first word in the Bible? That is Genesis 1:1. How does the Genesis 1:1 begins? In the beginning, right? God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, that's the first word of the Bible, right? In the beginning, that word in Hebrew begins with the bet, right? It's called the bereshit. And interestingly, that the word bereshit, in the beginning, begins with bet and ends with tav, that is the last alphabets of the Hebrew, in the beginning. Isn't that interesting? So who was in the beginning? Who was in the beginning? John's Gospel says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So this means, that means, Jesus was the co-creator of the universe with God. So Aleph, right, and Beth. Now that comes with another spelling called Nun. And if you pay attention to it, it's actually Eh, that's Eh, Ben, right? Aleph and Beth and Nun. Beth and Nun makes the word Ben, Eben, right? You know what Ben means in Hebrew? You may have heard of this Ben many times. Ben means son. Aleph means God, Ben means son. So there it goes. In the word Eben, there is God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. God and the Son, Jesus, was in the beginning at the time of creation. So God, Aleph, and Ben, the son, make this word stone, right? That's Eben. Eben is not just an ordinary rock. God and the Son are the rock of our salvation. And then interestingly, if you look at in the New Testament, Jesus built the church upon the rock. When Peter confessed, Jesus, you are the Son of God, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah, Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, Peter, on this very rock, on the confession that you just made, Peter's name is rock, right? Petra, that's a rock. On this rock, the confession that you made, I'm going to build my church. So Jesus built his church upon the rock. So Eben is a very fascinating part of the word, Ebenezer. Now, Ezer, what is Ezer? Help, help. If you remember Moses' son's name, when Moses escaped the Pharaoh's threat and went into the desert and then married there, living in the desert, and then had a son. And Moses named his son Eliezer. Eliezer. You know what? El is God. Eli is my God, right? Eliezer. My God is my help. That's what it means. After Moses ran from the palace of Pharaoh and lived in the desert, and God gave him the son, and Moses named him God is my help. That's why he named it Eliezer. Now, this Ezer, the word appears dozens of times in Psalms, and let me give you a couple of examples. In Psalm 33, it says, our help and our shield, and that used our Ezer and our shield. And Psalm 70, my help and my deliverer. God is my help, my deliverer. My Ezer and my deliverer. So who is our Ezer? Of course, that is God. God is our help and helper. Ezer, this Hebrew word, comes from two root words, meaning to rescue or to save and to be strong. So Ezer has the connotation that implies God is the mighty Savior and helper. Now, helper in the New Testament is the Holy Spirit. When Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit, he said in John 14, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. That part, the advocate, is translated as helper in New American Standard Version, English Standard Version, New King James Version, and many other translations. So helper in the New Testament is the Holy Spirit. So what do you see in the word Ebenezer? We see God, Aleph, the Son, Ben, Jesus Christ, and Ezer, the helper. Who is that? The Holy Spirit. Surely the word Ebenezer is a messianic word. We can interpret it as God is our help through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is the rock of our salvation. And that's exactly what the word means. Isn't it fascinating? Samuel set up a stone and named it Ebenezer and said, thus far the Lord has helped us. Through this act, as we have just studied the word, Samuel confessed God in Trinity forgave us and helped us in spite of our sinfulness against God. Think about it. Isn't this true to us as well? In spite of our many mistakes in our past, God has helped us this far. Many regretful things we did in the past could have put us in a totally different place today. But God's grace has been with us all along. So today could be the day that we too can set up a stone of help and humbly say, it is only by God's help we have come this far. And there is absolutely no question about that. You know why? Because you and I are the very proof of that. Look at where you are today. I mean, I can humbly acknowledge that I have made many mistakes in my past, and I still have a lot of regrets. But by God's grace, I have come this far. And I am standing here openly acknowledging that without God's help, I would not be here. And you can probably say the same, right? Have you noticed that there is one hymn that is written on this very theme? The hymn is called, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And I chose it as our closing hymn today. The second verse goes like this. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I've come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. This hymn was written by Robert Robinson in 1758. John Julian, the editor of the Dictionary of Hymnology, wrote that Robinson came from a troubled home. And after his father died, his impoverished mother sent him to London to learn barbering. Bruce Hindmarsh, a professor at the Risen College, wrote in his article for Desiring God, in London, the young Robinson fell in with a bad crowd. On Sunday, May 24th, 1752, he was one of a gang of young people visited George Whitefield's Tabernacle. Now, you know, George Whitefield is a very close friend to John Wesley, one of the members of the Holy Club while in Oxford, right? He visited George Whitefield's Tabernacle at Moorfield to mock the preacher and pity his hearers. But instead, Robinson was haunted by Whitefield's sermon on the wrath to come. Day and night, he was troubled as he recalled the message. This unrest culminated 3 years later in his wholehearted conversion. We know this from a cryptic notation he made in Latin on a blank leaf in one of his books. It said that on Tuesday, December 10th, 1755, he found full and free forgiveness through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. No wonder he would soon write in his famous hymn, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger bought me with his precious blood. He began serving at the Calvinist Methodist Chapel, and at the age of 23, he wrote this hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Robert Robinson was headed down a dangerous path in his life until God plucked him out of it. Some regretful things could have ruined his life, but God's grace, God's surpassing grace ruled and guided him to the right path. We have seen many moments of defeat on the way. But we have safely made to this day, all because of God's help. Today is the day that we could raise the stone of Ebenezer and acknowledge that His help has brought us through. It is only by God's grace we have come this far, and we will continue until the very end by His grace. Amen. I would like to invite all of you at this time to come to the table of God's mercy. This is an open communion for all, so I invite every one of you here in the sanctuary and at home to participate in this act of holy covenant. Let us turn to the hymnal where we pray over this elements. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these of gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As we participate and receive from the table of God's mercy, let us remember the broken body of Christ Jesus for our salvation. As we drink from the cup, let us remember that Christ shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Those of you who are sitting in the sanctuary, we have the cup and the grape juice and bread. It's right here in front, and then in the back, please feel free to participate. And as we are all ready, we are going to take bread and drink from the cup at the same time. Okay? So open up the lid. You'll find the bread in there, and underneath is the juice. Yeah, so they already have received it in the bag. We have some more if you haven't received in the bag. Okay. Let us now participate in the body of Christ Jesus and drink from the cup. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray once more. Lord Jesus, we are so forever grateful for your cross. May we ever be mindful of what you did in Calvary, so that wherever we are, whatever the situation we may be in, we may always remember your grace and give thanks to you. We thank you for what you did in Calvary for our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. At this time, we would do the tithes and offerings. We need to remind everyone to send their tithes and offerings into the office, because the church keeps running and we need the donations. So thank you very much.
See you.
Jesus Christ, you are the giver of life. You are the one who sent us into this world with mission for us to fulfill. Here we acknowledge that very mission as we give you this offering. And we pray that you receive this offering, bless it, that it may be used to continue to extend your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, the final hymn is Come the Fount of Every Blessing, hymn number 400.
For songs of loudest praise, teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Raise the mountain, fix upon it mount of thy redeeming love. Here I rise, mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger pours his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Run to one, the Lord, I feel thee. Run to leave the God of love. Here my heart, now take and seal it for thy courts above.
Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful that you have called to this hour of worship, that we may be blessed by your word, by the fellowship of saints, and by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So as we go from here, Lord, we ask you to go before us, go with us, and prepare our path that we may continue to abide in your grace and continue on by your grace. So, Lord Jesus, send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. It's okay. Go now in peace. Never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith.
steadfast, strong, and true. No, he will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above. Go now in peace, in faith, and in love. Amen. Amen.